Let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Live. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
All right, here we go. Welcome in. It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. I'll tell you what, it's a busy day. We've got a lot coming up on the show today. As always, if you want to chime in, you can do so. There'll be some opportunities to call in later on, 314-436-7900. You can always text in at that number, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. And for all the folks, and we have a lot of people, for all the folks who are watching the video stream, you can leave a comment in the chat, and we will get to that as we move along today. John Mozeliak, the Cardinals president of baseball operations, just met with the media on a Zoom. It wrapped up 5-10 minutes ago. We're going to play some of that for you coming up in our next segment. So if you want to hear from Mo and his thoughts on what just occurred with the trade deadline, we'll have that audio coming your way in just a few moments here on the program. Also, we are going to be joined by Brian Walton at 6:35. He is the proprietor, the lead, the head honcho, we'll call him that, over at thecardinalnation.com. We'll talk with him about his thoughts on the trade deadline. Our guy Kevin Wheeler is going to join us from the road. We'll get his thoughts on everything. He's been out of town. This is like this is prime Kevin Wheeler time, trade deadline, and you know, he's a dad, and he had to do some dad stuff down with his daughter in North Carolina to help her move. So he hasn't been here, but he and I will have a good long conversation just after 7 o'clock, and then I think this guy's gonna be making his KMOX debut. For those of you who follow along on the interwebs, I guess you could say, on social media, Kyle Reese, who does a lot of stuff there on. He's all over the place. He does podcasts. He writes. He does a lot of stuff, especially focused in on Cardinals prospects. We're going to let Kevin and Kyle onto the program at about 7:35. So we are excited for that coming up in just a little while. So, yeah, we've already, you know what? That's the best response we've already gotten. We've got BuckU_TV saying, Kyle is a legend. I agree. Kyle is. So make sure to stick around. Kyle's going to be with us at about 7:35. Looking forward to hearing what he has to say. I also laugh. Graham sends in a message. Imagine being a Pirates fan right now. Yeah, so this is where when people really start going off on the Cardinals as being this terrible organization, and they don't win anything, and they don't know how to run things, yada, yada, yada. I'm not telling you that the Cardinals have been great here recently. They haven't. We've well established the fact that they lost their way a little bit, and they're trying to fix that. And the group with Heim Bloom and Rob Serfolio and everybody, they're doing a lot of work to try to do that. And I give them all the credit in the world. But the Cardinals have a path, and the Cardinals have resources, and the Cardinals, I think, are going to be a team that's going to be back winning at a high level in the relatively near future. I can't put a date on it. It's probably not 2026, but we'll just have to wait and see on that. But there's teams like the Pirates. There's teams like the Rockies that, in their own different kind of ways, they don't even try. And There's no hope. Pirates have been playing great baseball here recently. Really good baseball. You can argue it started back when they swept the Cardinals. They just swept the Giants. Pirates have been playing some good baseball since their managerial change. I think they needed a new voice. But you've got an owner there who's not gonna give the resources that's needed. And so there's different levels of, I guess, mediocrity, for lack of a better term. And for some teams, it feels like the mediocrity is permanent. And for other teams, it feels like they are on a path out of it. And I think the Cardinals are a mediocre team right now. But I also think that they are a team that's got a path. Another message coming in on the video stream. And I wanted to talk about this today, so I'm glad this came in. So sad, 4545, so with multiple O's, multiple A's, and multiple D's on the old screen name there, says, I feel like John Mozeliak gave up on the wild card spot. Yeah, he did. Actually, he reacted to the way the team was playing, where the team put themselves in a position where it was going to take a remarkable turnaround for them to get to that wild card spot, which I would contend is still not 100% out of the question. Is it likely? Is it probable? No. It would be an incredibly unlikely result for the Cardinals to go make a run now and get a wild card spot. It would essentially take the San Diego Padres falling on their face right after they have a deadline where their major league roster got so much better today. So I'm not trying to fill anybody with false hope about the possibilities for the Cardinals. Like the door is almost all the way closed, but it's not completely closed on them being a team that maybe goes on a little bit of a run here. That's all I'm saying. Don't take this for more than what I'm saying. They're likely not going to be a postseason team this year. I'm very aware of that. But I feel like what they did was they made moves trying to help the organization for future years because they don't want to be a team that just sneaks into the postseason anymore. Look, I think there's value. I think there's value in being a postseason club. I do. I think there's value in playing games in August and September that matter. I think there's value in playing playoff games. I think there's value in all those things. But I also want to see the Cardinals be a team that when every single year you say, you know what, if the chips fall right, this team can win a World Series. And the last time we said that about the Cardinals was 2022, right? That was the last time it felt like there was any scenario where they could be a championship team, and they ended up losing that year in the wild card series. So as much, and I've said, this is not me like going back on my words, because I still believe there is value in being a playoff club, even if it's a short playoff run, and I think there's value in playing games that matter down the stretch of the season. The Cardinals are valuing the opportunity to put the organization on a track to where they can be competing for more than just a playoff spot, for more than just a division title, to be a team that's got a legitimate opportunity to do something special and to do something special pretty often. So if that means that they're punting a bit on this year and going for that as a way to start the process, I'm fine with that. And I know people are going to push back, and the correct pushback on that is, well, are any of these players that the Cardinals just got really going to be players that are going to be a difference in this being a World Series club? Probably not. I'm not going to lie to you on that one, but you get enough players into your organization that have a skill set that if they develop the right way, they can be a difference-making kind of a player. You get enough of those guys in there, and all of a sudden you start hitting on some of them and you start developing some of them, they might look a little bit different down the stretch. We'll take a break. When we come back, we are going to listen to John Mozeliak a little bit. He spoke to the media earlier today. That's up next. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Back to the Graybar Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Continuing to take you through it's Thursday? Yeah, it's Thursday. Taking you through Thursday. It doesn't matter what day it is. It's trade deadline day. Welcome back into the program. John Mozeliak, the Cardinals president of baseball operations, on his final trade deadline before he goes, I say retirement in terms of leaving the president of baseball operations position, goes on to whatever his next journey is going to be. But it was final trade deadline. He spent some time with the assembled media just a few moments ago on Zoom. Wanted to play back some of this press conference and what he had to say today.
Yeah, to begin, obviously, we went into this deadline trying to move our expiring contracts. Obviously, Helsley, Matz, and Maton, we were able to do that. The goal of these moves were obviously to trying to create as much prospect value as possible. And we feel we achieved that. Obviously, when you take players to market, there's a lot of things that go on. There's a lot of eyes of beholder in terms of value. But, you know, overall, we felt like we were able to accomplish our goals. And, you know, hopefully our fan base will see the returns of these deals in a couple of years. Jeff?
Mo, what went into making this a deadline where you all were focused on trading only players that were headed to free agency this winter and not players who might have some team control? What was sort of the tipping point that made that the path for you all?
Well, first off, when you look at some, like, I will say we got hit a lot on our left-handed hitters. But none of the types of offers we were getting for those necessarily accurate, but we were not motivated to move players that we had under control unless we were, to put it mildly, blown away. And we just weren't. Katie?
But when you look at some of these returns for your rental relievers, what kinds of talent, if any, were you looking to acquire here? I know revamping the player development system has been a priority for this club this year.
Yeah, I know this is a cliche answer, but it was, just best talent available. But I will say, we were trying to focus on maybe some young starting pitching. But as you can tell, that was not really our highest level of return. And really it just came down to the potential suitors that we were speaking with. And so we tried to navigate it as best we could, but we ultimately ended up with just deciding to go with the players that we thought had the highest upside.
Did you feel like, just based on the contract statuses, all three are pending free agents, that maybe made acquiring a starting pitching prospect a little more difficult given the value of the return?
Yeah, I think so. And clearly you can see that there were other closers that were traded that have years of control and their returns were different. But I think net net, depending on how you do your own evaluation, I think you would agree that we did pretty well in that trade. We're still planning on competing this year. Obviously, we have a lot of baseball games to play. We expect to try to win as many as possible. But clearly we did change the look of the bullpen. Now we'll see some guys that come up from AAA, get some different opportunities. And we'll see how that looks. But our goal is still the same. We're going to try to win games.
And as far as 26 is concerned.
Well, it's hard for me to speak on 26, other than I can say that the goal of this trading deadline period was about the future. And I don't think it's necessarily
What overall message do you think this sends to the fan base and to your clubhouse? You still have a lot of veteran guys in there. The fact that you're trading major leaguers for minor leaguers, what message does that send to the veterans in your clubhouse and your fan base?
Well, I think, it's not a surprise what we did in the clubhouse. I think players understood that we weren't playing at the level we needed to be on the other side of the ledger, i.e. Trying to add. And obviously the players that we moved were valuable pieces to our team, so they will be missed. But sports, like all businesses, it's about opportunity. And now some individuals are going to get a chance to do some things that they weren't getting that opportunity to do previously. And so we'll see what they do with it. And this year we did come in thinking that this was going to be a year where we're trying to create that opportunity for some of our younger players. And now they're going to get more of that. So hopefully they run with it.
You have three veterans with no trade clauses. Can you characterize how those meetings went? Did anything change in that, or was it pretty much the same message as you got before the season?
No, I would say it was pretty much the same. I think those will all be something that the new leadership can revisit this offseason.
Mo, you're going to have the organization's going to have a lot of players moving into that area where they have to be protected in the Rule 5 draft. How much of a role did that play in these acquisitions where you wanted to get guys that didn't necessarily have to go immediately onto the 40 man?
I mean, obviously, it's a valuable to not have to put somebody on the 40 man, right, from a prospect standpoint, but it did not necessarily change our decision making. It would break ties, maybe is the easiest way to say it. But ultimately, I do think we're going to have some flexibility on our 40 man though, because obviously we took multiple players off just recently, and there are going to be some more player churn over the next 2 to 3 months, which is just natural. So I'm not overly concerned about the space, and nor was anybody in our room, but we certainly understood. We were cognizant of it, to answer
Thank
your
you.
question. Yes. Daniel?
Mo, just when it comes to that relief market specifically with closers and kind of the lead up to the deal with the Mets to send Helsley there, how did you kind of see that kind of market shake up as kind of that deal got closer?
You know, my concern was that there were four big name closers out there, and obviously two of them had multiple years of control, and then one had one extra year of control. And then in our case, Mr. Helsley had 2 months. So I was cognizant of how far we thought we had leverage. What I didn't want to have happen, a lot of times I think in this business, everybody thinks like the longer you wait, the better the deal. I was scared that the longer we wait, the music might stop and we might still be standing.
Mo, have you all made finalized decisions on who's going to take the three empty spots on your active roster?
Yes, but I'm not in a position to announce because we still have to speak with players and get things moving. Obviously, this deadline expired 41 minutes ago. I think we actually got the Texas deal in with like 1 minute and 8 seconds. So just haven't had time to unpack everything yet. Katie?
Mo, to Jeff's point, I know that you will have some backfills to make with a major league club, but with their current options on the 26-man roster, how do you see the late innings, the 7th, 8th, and 9th being taken? Are there any front runners for the closer job?
I would imagine you'll see JoJo get some more high leverage situations. And, you know, obviously we feel like with some of the horsepower we have in that Memphis bull, see how they do with it.
Would it be fair to categorize right now? I know it's so early, but maybe you guys going with a closer by committee to start?
Obviously, we got to remain constant or consistent with how we use people. But, you know, obviously the pattern that Ollie was using prior to this training deadline, I think everybody in the ballpark knew, like, okay, here's where Maton's going to get up. Here's where Helsley's going to come in. So it will be a little different. So that's going to take time for those roles to really develop.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Johnny?
Well, you could have traded Helsley last offseason, but you didn't. You pulled him back. Looking back on it now, did you get a better return by waiting? Or you know, how do you gauge that?
I think that's hard to say. It would be like complimenting myself if I said, yeah, we did better today, but like, I just don't know. When we were listening this past off season on him, it was never really that compelling to do it. And part of what we really wanted to do too was try to win as many games as possible. And so keeping that group together, I think, was helpful. You think back to the addition of Maton and, you know, really what he was, you know, so additive to our bullpen. And so, you know, we tried to make a run at this, but with these contracts expiring, this is a rare opportunity to add real prospect depth to your system. And I think we accomplished that. D?
Hey, Mo, it's with even how this all went, you create a lot of opportunity in the bullpen, but you have a lot of the same kind of overlaps for playing time with position players, whether because of veterans or because of young guys who play the same. You see that playing out in the next 2 months. And do you think that's something that's going to have to, I know you don't, I mean, how do you think this kind of plays out over maybe the next 5 months? And if you need some kind of clarity there still.
No, I think you do. I think at some point you're trying to create a lane for someone to be able to just run with it. And, you know, obviously, things happen. Things have a way of opening up over time, but maybe as we think about that question, maybe we reflect on it a little bit more in the sense of like, what does it really mean for next year? Open to it, but the timing just wasn't now. Because two guys were on the IL. It was just an awkward time. And so I feel like your question is a good question and one that will ultimately be resolved probably over the next 6 months.
Okay. Do you envision maybe some kind of different setup at third base with Nolan or with the Nolans, I guess, or how do you see that playing out?
Well, I do think, again, we're going to try to find at-bats for Nolan Gorman as best we can. You know, unfortunately, the timing of his injury was, it is what it is. And so now we got to, like, you know, try to get him back into where he was prior to the injury. And so I think from a playing standpoint, you are going to see those opportunities happen. But you're trying not to do it at the expense of someone else trying to get going. So I do think, like, these things tend to work themselves out over time. You might say to me, well, no, they haven't, but typically they do. And so patience.
May I ask one last question that's probably apropos? Mo, you're 45 minutes removed, 46 minutes removed from probably the last significant move for you as president of baseball operations. Correct me if I'm wrong there, but how do you feel?
When you're done, it's just a feeling of exhaustion, just like relief, like, oh, it's over. And this one's no different. I feel like I wish we were on the other side where we were looking to add versus break up. But ultimately, you know, we had to do what was best for the organization. So that part's tough. But, you know, look, when I get off the Zoom, I'm going to clean up my office. I'm going to head home and I'm probably going to have a cocktail. And, you know, reflecting back on what we were able to accomplish, I hope in the end it's viewed in a positive way. And, you know, as you know, trades are not judged on just the moment, but also in time. And so as I think back of my career and all of that, it's hard to, like, put into words exactly what I'm thinking and feeling at the moment. But I appreciate the support I got from my team, all the people involved. You know, Ollie and his staff, this is never fun. It's tough. And those guys were pros. And then, you know, from working with Flo, Moy, Gersh, Surf, Haim, Jared, Seats, and Bear, it was a good experience for all of them. And, certainly, the last 72 hours has been a blur for all of us and for most people in baseball. And I think we're all just, taking that deep breath now. But, yeah, it was definitely a surreal feeling walking out of that room and knowing that, that may be the last time I ever have to captain one of those.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Jeffrey.
Sorry for ruining the nice moment. You mentioned that there would not be a desire to block someone's playing time who maybe is looking to get something going. I'm curious if there's a conversation to be had or that has been had with Nolan Arenado about what that looks like at third base, and if there's any kind of understanding or expectation that that would be maybe more of a timeshare, certainly, than it's been at any point in his
Not specifically. I think, you know, obviously we're trying to get Herrera out in left field a little bit more. We're trying to find ways to share the DH role. But all of these things are going to be on the table. And, you know, I think where we are right now at 5:48 PM, it's not something I'm going to address when I hang up this one, this Zoom. Obviously, you know, that's how we'll approach it right now. Randy?
I wanted to ask about any communication with Haim, especially when you're making the Blaze Jordan move. And I know you guys had interest in him, but Haim drafted him and had that knowledge from Boston. Was there any communication with Haim as you traversed these trades?
Yes. I mean, look, I just mentioned everybody that was part of the team just now, that was integral part of the decision tree on how we make decisions. But there's also a, you know, long list of scouts that participate in this, but that the names I mentioned were actually in the room. And, of course, anytime you're dealing with, and in the end, when we were trying to do Matt's, we had multiple teams involved with him. But in the end, Boston gave us a player that we coveted and we did the deal. And, had they not, we would have taken that into, today. And who knows where that would have ended. But I felt like we had a lot of opportunities to do something with Mr. Matz, and we went with the best deal we had. And I think avoiding the hectic last 30 minutes of this period is also valuable, even though we did take one down to the wire, and it is a bit stressful.
That is outgoing Cardinals president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak, what he had to say. I let that play for a while, honestly, because we're getting all these questions in on the chat, and he was answering those questions. So I'm not really going to address a lot of those questions because John Mozeliak just answered them. I don't need to parrot what he said. So hopefully you were listening along with that. Some interesting things that he said for sure. And we'll revisit some of the things that he said coming up later on in the program. Up next, Brian Walton from the Cardinal Nation joins us as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Back to the Graybar Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
We are taking you until 8 o'clock this night. Nothing but Cardinals talk between now and then as we continue to go through what happened at the trade deadline. The Cardinals moving on from three pitchers, Ryan Helsley, Steven Matz, and Phil Maton. They get a number of prospects back. And to talk about that and much more, we're very happy to welcome on to the program. He is the owner of thecardinalnation.com, which is a great website when it comes to the Cardinals minor leagues and prospects and everything that they do. And that's why I wanted to talk to him today. He is Brian Walton. He's on Twitter at @B_Walton. Brian, thanks for your time. How are you?
Great, man. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll get into some more specific stuff, and I know these guys are brand new to the organization, so not a whole lot of people are intimately connected to them quite yet. But what's your general feeling on what the Cardinals have been able to get back here at the deadline?
Well, I think, first of all, as you said, they traded away three relief pitchers, and that was really the sweet spot of where they were in terms of expiring contracts. There's a lot of talk about position players and other things that were probably low odds of happening. So what the Cardinals did is what most people reasonably expected, and what they did was add six prospects, six minor leaguers, of which four are pitchers and two are position players. And two position players might be the most exciting, although, you know, on the pitching side, there's a couple of starters and a couple of relievers. A lot of guys are still in A-ball, so there's development ahead. But on the pitching side, it's very clear that the Cardinals continued the theme that we talked about in the draft, and that was high strikeout guys. 11.K per nine, 10.5K per nine, 11.2K per nine, 10.9K per nine. So these guys are guys that obviously need to continue to refine a pitcher too, but have shown the ability to collect strikeouts. And this is a really a new thing for the Cardinals organization, that they're really stressing this.
Yeah, so how much is this connected to what Chaim Bloom wants moving forward? Is this the immediate impact already of kind of his baseball philosophy, do you think?
I'm not really sure. I mean, we don't know. We're not obviously sitting in the war rooms when they're talking about this. I mean, there are people in the analytics side, there are people on the scouting side who have believed that was important. And, you know, the old days of pitch to contact, it served the Cardinals well for many, many years. But as defenses get more sophisticated and how they position, it becomes harder and harder to pitch to contact. You really got to have a good defense. And the Cardinals have had a pretty good defense over time, but they haven't had the guys who could get those big strikeout when they needed them. And the Cardinals are putting more lines in the water. You know, we don't know whether any of these guys are going to become future major leaguers or not, but the more opportunities you have of guys who can throw hard, the more chances you have of guys who are going to make it and contribute down the road in a few years.
Most of the guys that they acquire are low-level guys right now in terms of their baseball development. But a couple guys are at the higher levels at AAA. Today, the guy that they got from the Rangers, one of them, Skylar Hayes, he's been at the AAA level. Yesterday, you know, when they go out and they get the first baseman, third baseman from Boston, he's a AAA guy. But does it say anything to you that, for the most part, it feels like they were targeting lower-level guys, guys earlier on their development, guys who don't need to be on the 40-man roster?
Yeah, and the Cardinals have room. I mean, the Cardinals have four open spots right now on their 40-man roster, the three they traded away and then plus Eric Fetty's spot. So, and they have the opportunity to bring some guys up if they need them. I think it's more likely what other organizations are going to make available. You know, at this point, again, because these are expiring contracts. As good as Ryan Helsley is, everybody knows how good Ryan Helsley is. We've watched him pitch for many years. The reality is the Mets are going to get 2 months out of him, and then he's going to become a free agent and cash in a big contract, and it might be with him, might be somewhere else. So, you know, you have to be realistic in terms of the guys that the Cardinals got. I think Blaze Jordan, the guy that you mentioned from the Red Sox, is an interesting guy. I mean, he was a number 24 ranked prospect in the system, but it's having a breakout year on the power side. And his slugging, Blake Jordan's slugging mark this year, .495, would be in the top five in the Cardinals system. So, you know, unfortunately, he's a first base only, but the positive is he's a right-handed hitter, and that's the Cardinals have been looking for right-handed power. And, you know, you think, well, you know, Lucan Baker hasn't really been able to step up, so maybe Blaze Jordan can find a spot among the scrum between first base and DH, which is already Wilson Contreras and Ivan Herrera and Burley that are all kind of in that mix.
I know you guys have your own rankings, and you'll insert everybody in here sooner than later. As I look at the MLB pipeline rankings, Baez slots in at number 6, Dome at number 13, Jordan comes in at number 19. They haven't yet inserted the players who were acquired today. But if nothing else, Brian, it feels like for an organization where there has been some questions about the prospect depth that they have throughout the entire, you know, all levels of the minor league system, they obviously have created some more depth today.
That's right. That's right, man. And Jesus Baez, the one you mentioned who came in, he'll be in the top 10 in my list too. Only 20 years old, left side guy, so shortstop, maybe third base down the road, but only 5'10". But a guy with a very strong arm, had some very impressive exit velocities when he was in the Florida State League last year. Doesn't strike out a lot, but his play discipline isn't so good. So, you know, there's some things to work on, but there's material there, just like we talked about those pitchers with the ability to strike out. Jesus Baez has shown good power and a very, very good bat. And that's something you can build on with a guy who's, you know, going to report to high A Peoria and, you know, still has a couple more levels to master, 3 more levels to master before he reaches the majors.
Yeah, that Peoria team got quite the influx of talent with this trade deadline.
That's right. Jesus Baez, as I mentioned, and then Nate Dome and Frank Ellis, the two right-handers that came from the Mets, are both reporting there. And I would imagine that Mason Molina, the left-hander, the starting pitcher that they got from the Rangers today, will probably also report to Peoria. So the Chiefs will get a nice influx of talent. And that's important because normally this time of year you see guys that are moving around to accommodate the players who were drafted this year. But at least today, as of the last day of July, none of the 21 players that the Cardinals signed, plus 2 free agents that the Cardinals signed earlier this month, have been activated yet. So these guys are going to slip in and provide some depth in an organization that that can help.
We're continuing to talk with Brian Walton from thecardinalnation.com. I hear it so often from fans, so I'm going to ask you the exact same question. Do you see a scenario where J.J. Weatherholt gets to the big leagues before this season comes to an end?
I think only in the case that there was a rash of injuries in the middle infield and they really needed him. I mean, they're looking to see, you know, what they've got right now and the guys that they have. And, you know, it was only two years ago when the Cardinals traded off, you know, all those pitchers and brought in a bunch of players. And they're trying to see right now Thomas Jacy, you know, is he going to be a long-term guy or is Weatherholt going to push him aside? I think Weatherholt, you know, the Cardinals have taken some heat in the past for rushing a player like Jordan Walker when they didn't really need to. And let's face it, the Cardinals aren't probably going to make the playoffs this year. And so I'd rather see J.J. Weatherholt get some more reps in AAA, maybe go to the Arizona Fall League and come to camp and see what happens there. But, you know, we'll have to see. I just hope people aren't too impatient yet because Weatherholt has had great success early on here in AAA, but they're going to figure out his weaknesses and he's going to need to react. He'll have his slump. And, you know, and I just hope people aren't too impatient. That's all.
Tekoa Roby appeared to be on a track where he might get to the big leagues this season, certainly competing for a job in spring next year. And now all of a sudden, because he has had Tommy John surgery, we're not going to see him until 2027 in all likelihood. For a guy who seemingly got it figured out this year, how challenging is that? First off, from the high-end pitching depth perspective for the Cardinals, where they haven't had a lot at AAA ready to help, and also just this was a guy who was expected to contribute very, very soon.
Yeah, you know, the hope was that coming into this year that both Tank Hentz and Tekoa Roby would step up and show that they could be ready to help for the Cardinals next season. And unfortunately, Tank Hentz has been hurt, and now Roby's joined him, as well as Cooper Jury, who also, you know, was very, very promising at double-A level as well. And the Cardinals just had a terrible rest. They've been healthy at the major league level primarily with their pitching, but at the triple-A level, I mean, they've just been decimated. They're like six top, you know, six prospects out for the year or out for a long extended period of time. And Tekoa Roby, as you said, had issues with his shoulder, and so it was a little bit of a over time. It was a little bit of a surprise when it was his elbow that was damaged, and he had to have Tommy John surgery. And so, you know, right now, now that Michael McGreevy's up with St. Louis, there really isn't an obvious guy, a prospect guy. Now, they've had some guys that they picked up off the scrap heap, Taylor and Wilkerson, that have pitched okay, but they're short-term solutions. And so the Cardinals need to get healthy in their starting pitching side in the minor leagues because they've been struggling here because of all these injuries.
Do you still view Team Kentz as an eventual starter, or have you shifted to looking at him as more of a reliever at the big league level?
Well, I think the latter. Tim Kentz was drafted with Jordan Walker and Mason Winn, and they were all high schoolers. Now, granted, you know, a pitcher is going to develop differently than a hitter, but Tim Kentz has had such an injury history. He hasn't really been able to get over about 80 innings, and I think if they could get him back and he could maybe go in shorter bursts, maybe that can help him. Because both in the case of Hanson Roby, you know, they've been on the 40-man roster, and you lose a whole year here and a whole year there, pretty soon their three option years are used up, and they're to the point where you've got to make a decision whether to keep him on the major league roster. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but the point is, you know, Hanson's still back in Double A. He hasn't thrown an inning in Triple A yet. At least Roby got up and made a half a dozen starts. So, you know, first of all, they got to get these guys healthy, and we'll see what the new Cardinals player development folks does with them at some point. But, you know, it's not good if guys are only good in a short burst and then they spend the majority of the season on the injured list.
Brian Walton does a fantastic job running the website, thecardinalnation.com. He and his staff are incredible with what they do on the minor league reports, the rankings, everything. Check it out for yourself, thecardinalnation.com. Brian, and follow him on Twitter as well, B_Walton. Brian, we always appreciate your time. Looking forward to talking to you again down the line.
You got it, Matt.
Very good. That's Brian Walton joining us on the program. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one. In the final hour, we'll talk with Kevin Wheeler. We'll talk Kyle Reese. We got a lot to get to, and we'll continue to take your comments as well on Major League Baseball trade deadline day. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a couple minutes left here in hour number one of the program. Our final hour will be a strike zone hour. We're going to be joined by our good pal, Kevin Wheeler. He's going to join us from the road between, points unknown, parts unknown, between North Carolina and St. Louis as he makes his way back home. But we'll get his thoughts on everything that went down today with the trade deadline. And then a Sports Open Line debut, I believe. I don't think I've ever had him on Sports Open Line. I did a podcast with him at one point, but I don't think he's been on Sports Open Line, but we're gonna let him on. Kyle Reese is going to join us. He has great thoughts on Cardinals minor leagues, Cardinals prospects, and I wanted him to be able to share those with all of you. So he is going to be joining us at about 7:35. That's going to be what's going on in the 7 o'clock hour. So make sure to stay tuned for that. Somebody asked if I thought text from the 636 said, "Do I think the Mats deal is the best of the deadline?" Now, I think the Helsley deal is. I think the high end, the potential of what they got out of the Helsley deal with both with Baez and Dome, to me, each of those guys have a higher ceiling than Blaze Jordan. Blaze Jordan could be fun. Like I saw you look at his profile and you know his background, a guy who was winning a home run competition at the age of 11. Was hitting 500-foot home runs when he was 13 years old. Like, that's fun, and that's going to get the headlines. And he may be the guy of the group who makes an impact at the big league level before anybody else. But I still think the return for Helsley was the best return that they got. I'm fine with all of it. I'm still kind of learning about the guys that they got today for Phil Maton. They got a couple pitchers, a lefty in Mason Molina. Hey, he's got the right, the correct last name for the Cardinals organization. Mason Molina, he's a guy who's been pitching single A, and then Skylar Hales. Each of those guys were in the lower portion of the Rangers' top 30 prospects, according to MLB Pipeline. Molina at number 27, Hales at number 28. He's been at AAA, but really, really struggling at AAA. So maybe we see Hales before this season comes to an end. But based off my very limited knowledge, I'll be very open about that. My very limited knowledge on these players that the Cardinals are getting back on paper, it feels like the return for Helsley was the best return of the bunch. But we'll ask some other people about that both today and coming up on the show tomorrow. More after the 7 o'clock news. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMO.